One afternoon, a couple years ago, I needed to change out our vacuum sweeper bag. So I went to a closet in the hallway near our laundry room where I remembered having put a packet of vacuum sweeper bags. Now, since I had put the packet there, we had added a whole lot of other stuff to that closet. You know how it works, right? One thing after another, and before long, this closet was stuffed to the gills when I opened that closet door. I mean, sun visors from our vehicles, old basketballs, household cleaning products, gloves, neck scarves, hats, cooking ware. It was overflowing. Let's put it this way. It's a good thing I came out of the closet years ago, because there would have been no room for me in this closet. As I looked around the closet, I finally spied the package of vacuum sweeper bags on the shelf in the closet, but a mountain of stuff was piled on top of that package. So ever so gingerly, I tried to pull it out, and when I did so, everything came tumbling down on top of me. I once had a friend who would always use the same expression. He would say, "It's enough to make a preacher cuss." Well, this was enough to make this preacher want to cuss. I didn't cuss, but I let out what is probably the most profane doggone it I have ever spoken. All of our homes have places like that closet. Little pockets of chaos. In your home, where do you store your chaos? Confession is good for the soul, so go ahead. Somebody tell me. Just call it out. In your house, where do you keep your chaos? Garage. Basement. All over. I saw a poster the other day that said, "You could best describe my housekeeping as there appears to have been a struggle." What is true of our homes is equally true of our personal lives. Little pockets of chaos, maybe big pockets of chaos. It cannot be avoided. Chaos is part and parcel with the reality in which we find ourselves, so much so that there's even a scientific principle for it. It's called entropy. Real clear, science.com says entropy is like Murphy's Law applied to the universe. Put simply, entropy is a measure of disorder. And the second law of thermodynamics states that all closed systems have an ever-increasing tendency toward disorder. Everywhere we look around us, we see this principle at work. Things that are coming apart, things that have a natural tendency to move from order to chaos. So how should we, as people of faith, respond? That's the question we're going to wrestle with today as we come to the second installment in our sermon series on new beginnings. Today we are going to learn how to conquer chaos. Let's start with a prayer. God, each week, most every week, we confront the powerful forces of entropy in this world, at home, at work, in our relationships, in our finances, in our health, in our spiritual lives, in our emotional lives. Always chaos is trying to raise its ugly head. God, how should we respond? Speak, Lord. We need your wisdom for living. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. So, today I want us to learn two important Hebrew words so that you can carry these words with you for the rest of your life and call them out to yourself when you need a reminder. The two words are spelled like you see on the top line here and pronounced like you see on the bottom line. Tohu wabohu. Kind of has a nice ring to it, doesn't it? Tohu wabohu. Say it with me on the count of three. One, two, three. Tohu wabohu. Once again, tohu wabohu. Hold those words in your mind for just a moment. Today, we're going to focus on the biblical creation story. Whenever Christians talk about the Genesis creation story, it's usually for the purpose of debating the exact timing and means by which God created the cosmos. Some Christians believe that God created rapidly in 7 24-hour days. Other Christians believe that the days of the Genesis creation account represent periods of time through which God created by means of evolution. There are folks in this church, in this congregation, who see it both of those different ways, and we are proud of that. Imagine a church where everybody doesn't all have to think alike. Nor do we have to resolve that debate in order to learn something really powerful, practical, and important from the biblical creation story. As 2 Timothy 3:16 reminds us, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So what great teaching does God want us to draw from the creation story today? Embedded in the creation story are powerful, practical, everyday life lessons. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was, there are those two Hebrew words, tohu wabohu. And darkness covered the face of the deep. Tohu means a place of chaos, formlessness, a wasteland. Wabohu means nothingness, emptiness. So earth at this point was in a state of primordial chaos. Everything was a mess. I read a cute story the other day told by Shawnee Brown, who lives in Warsaw, Indiana. She was talking about her little boy and how she often has conversations with him where she reminds him of the great and wonderful things that God has done in creation. She says, I'll ask him questions like, who made the sun? God did. Who makes it rain? God does. One afternoon, she said, I walked into his room. It was an absolute mess, toys everywhere. In disgust, she says, I said to him, who made this mess? And without skipping a beat, he says, God did. So I guess you could say that God made the mess that was planet Earth when it was in its state of primordial chaos, but God did not want it to stay that way. We know that because this scripture text goes on to tell us how God felt about this primordial chaos. Verse 2 says, and the Spirit of God, rakof, it's a hard Hebrew word to pronounce, rakof over the face of the waters. The word rakof means is the Hebrew word for to brood. Brooding means to think deeply about something that makes you unhappy. So God was not pleased with the state of chaos of planet Earth at that time, and thus God set in motion the process of creation step by step, turning the chaos into beautiful order. First, God creates the light, and then God separates the light from the darkness, and then God separates the dry land from the waters of the earth, and the waters on the earth from the waters that float in the sky above us, step by step, taking taking this chaos and turning it into the incredible beauty that we see in our world today. Until then, God creates us in God's image and decides to leave us in charge down here to carry forward God's work on earth. Genesis 1:26, God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over every creeping thing." Dominion there, of course, means control, responsibility for. Let them have responsibility over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created humankind in God's image, leaving us in charge to carry forward God's work here on earth. That is the gist of the biblical creation story. But what on earth does that have to do with the personal chaos that we face in our lives? Answer, if you look carefully at the Genesis creation story, you will find embedded in it a beautiful, insightful blueprint for how we should respond to chaos in our lives. As beings created in the image of God, we intuitively share God's brooding unhappiness when we encounter chaos in our lives. And when that happens, we should respond to our chaos the same way God did. This is a basic principle of discipleship. Ephesians 5:1, "Be ye imitators of God as dear children." When I was a little boy, I wanted to be just like my dad. I wanted to act like him. I wanted to do what he did. I wanted to dress like him. So that's what I did. As you can see, I had no greater fashion sense back then than I have now. But I blame it on my dad because I was a chip off of the old block just trying to be like him. We, all of us, each one of us, we are supposed to be chips off the old block. Children of the living God, created in the image of God. And that means we have been put together in such a way that we are supposed to do what God did in the face of chaos. We are supposed to respond to chaos as God did, or as dads do and moms do. We are supposed to respond to chaos. So the next time you find yourself facing a chaotic situation in your life, think to yourself, wait a minute, I know what this is. This is an opportunity for me to create. I have been put here on earth, created in such a way as to be a chaos buster who partners with God to beat back earth's overwhelming entropy. So, where are you facing chaos in your personal life right now? Where in your life are you finding yourself feeling like I did when all of that stuff was tumbling off the top shelf of the closet onto me? That overwhelming sense of stuckness in life. For some of us, it may be in our own personal finances that we are overwhelmed. For some of us, it may be a relationship in our life that is a complete mess. For some of us, it may be our houses that are falling apart and getting away from. It may be our personal spiritual life that's experiencing a tremendous amount of entropy. Just bit by bit, it feels like it's getting away from you and moving from order to disorder. Whenever you get that overwhelming feeling of chaos and stuckness in your life, I want you to remember to stop yourself and say, wait a minute, I know what's happening here. Tohu wabohu. Say it with me. Tohu wabohu. Say it again. Tohu wabohu. Whenever you find yourself in that place of chaos, I want you to stop and remind yourself, I know what this is. This is my own little creation story challenge. This is my chance to be tested, my opportunity to Be more like my maker by doing what my maker did. Chips off the old block who repeat the patterns that we see in God. Basic principle of discipleship. Okay, Jeff, you may say, so specifically, what is it that God did in the creation story that we should repeat in our lives in the times of chaos we encounter? Notice the first thing God does in the creation story. Genesis 1:4, God separated the light from darkness. In the same vein, verse 9, God said, "Let the waters under the sky be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." Do you see what's happening there? God began to beat back the chaos of planet Earth by establishing healthy boundaries for creation. We should learn from that. Whenever we are facing chaos in our personal lives, it's almost always a sign that we need to establish some new healthy boundaries in our life, just like God did at the dawn of creation. Many of us here know Randy King. Randy is a deacon here at Life Journey Church, and many of us also know that Randy has a heart condition known as AFib. Several years ago, Randy's doctors were telling him that he had way too much weight on him, that it was putting a terrible strain, exacerbating his heart condition. In fact, he had one doctor that said to him, "Randy, either lose weight or you're going to die. That'll get your attention." You see, excess weight was creating chaos in Randy's life, to the point, Randy says, that I found myself stopping all activities outside of my house. He said it was just too uncomfortable for me to squeeze into my vehicle. He says, I would get up in the morning and I would be careful to take downstairs with me everything that I would need for the day because it was going to be too much effort and exertion to get back up those stairs. He has grandchildren that he loves dearly, but he found himself not able to do nearly as much with them as he wanted to. And so excess weight was creating chaos, health chaos in his life. So being a chip off of the old block, being a child of God created in God's image, Randy knew exactly what he was going to have to do. He was going to have to establish some healthy new boundaries in his life. By the way, Randy will tell you he also had to reflect deeply on why he was relating to food the way he was. But that's another story for another time. Even with that self-awareness that he gained, nothing was going to change until he established some new healthy boundaries in his life. So he did two things, two key things. First, he went on Weight Watchers. You're familiar with Weight Watchers, right? It gives you a point system. Food is equated, various foods are equated to various amount of points. And you can only eat a certain point total of food during the day. And then if you're going to be faithful to it, you have to stop. For the last several years, Randy has been religiously following Weight Watchers. Healthy boundary, number one. Number two, he decided to set some specific goals for activity, increased activity in his life. A specific goal for how many steps he would try to take in a day. And initially, it was very, very difficult. There's a lot of entropy in the closed systems of our life that try to keep us stuck where we are. But the key to being free in life is having the ability to set healthy boundaries and then live into them. We are not free people without the ability to set those healthy boundaries. And so he forced himself to walk a certain amount each day, to climb up and down stairs a certain amount of time each day. He's gotten to the point now where he's joined a gym, and three times a week he goes to the gym, even if it's late at night and he's just gotten out of his oasis. And if he hasn't been to the gym and it's a gym day, he will force himself to go to the gym. And through those two key areas of healthy boundary setting, over the last several years, he's lost 153 pounds and loving life again. His life is so much more beautiful now than it was before. He's able to get out and about, do all of the things that he wants to do, be active again. He's able to keep up with his grandkids again. He told me a story about how several years ago when he was before he had lost all that weight, he took his grandson to Turkey Run State Park and they were on a trail. And he said, on that trail, I literally felt like I was going to die And all I could think of was what it would mean to my grandson if he had to experience the trauma of seeing his grandpa die while we were out in this wilderness area. That gives you some motivation. He didn't want that chaos in his life anymore, and so he set those healthy boundaries, and he continues to live within those healthy boundaries. He's told me that now he at the gym, he's working on his abs. Talk about from chaos to beauty, right? Before long, Randy King is going to have abs of steel. Although, let's not get carried away, all right? So, first key point, first key thing we should do when we're facing chaos in our life, it should be a clue to us that we need to establish some healthy boundaries and then to practice keeping those boundaries. And if we do that, eventually that practice of keeping those boundaries is going to lead us naturally to the second great step that God took in the creation process. Genesis chapter 1, verse 14. This is along about the fourth or fifth day of creation. God said, "Let there be lights in the dome of the sky to separate the day from the night." And now this next phrase is critical. "And let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years." So God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. So, key phrase, God said, "Let them be for signs, for seasons, for days, for years." You see what's happening there? God was establishing a healthy, habitual rhythm for the cosmos. Think about it. Every day, a 24-hour day, we didn't invent the 24-hour day. God gave us the 24-hour day based on the rotation of the earth. Think about it. We didn't invent the concept of months. God gave us the concept of months through the lunar cycles, 12 lunar cycles in a year. We didn't invent the length of the year. The length of a year was given to us, the amount of time, 365 days, it takes the earth to rotate around the sun. We didn't invent the seasons. God gave us the seasons and the order of the seasons. So God intuitively understood that for life to thrive on planet Earth, Earth was going to have a whole system of healthy rhythms, healthy habits, if you will. Imagine if God got up one morning and said, "You know, I think today the day is going to be 12 hours long." And suppose God gets up the next morning and says, "Today the day is going to be 45 hours long." I mean, that would be chaos. We couldn't live under such conditions. Or what if God got up one day and said, "You know, I'm a little bit bored, so I think I'm going to mix up the order of the seasons. It's going to be fall, summer, winter, spring." Life would descend into chaos. It would be impossible. We should learn from that. "Be ye imitators of God as dear children." Chips off the old block, created in God's image. Just like physical creation needs healthy habits, we need the same. And so, when we're confronting chaos in our life, we establish healthy boundaries. We practice those healthy boundaries enough that those healthy boundaries then become healthy habits in our life so that we get to the point where much of our life is happening intuitively. When we encounter difficult life situations, we've already learned a healthy way of intuitively responding to that situation so that these habits become the beautiful architecture that guides and contains our life. Let me give you an example. Suppose I'm someone who struggles with explosive anger. Things happen and I respond reactively. One day a Sunday school teacher was reviewing the Ten Commandments with her kids. She had just told them about the commandment that says, "Honor your father and mother." Then she said to the kids, "Can anybody give me another commandment, one that tells us how we should treat our brothers and sisters?" A little girl raises her hand and says, "Thou shalt not kill." That's how we are, right? Somebody does something that upsets us, and our tendency is to erupt in anger that only makes the chaos work. So if we don't want chaos in our life, if we're struggling with anger, what do we need to do? We need to step back and set a new healthy boundary and say, okay, I am going to practice responding to volatile situations with reflective anger. I'm going to go home, reflect on this, and then respond to the situation in a way that gives life, that is orderly, that creates beauty instead of chaos. And if I do that enough times, if I practice that enough, before long, it becomes a habit. It becomes my instinctive go-to way of responding to volatile situations in life, and all of a sudden I'm repeatedly, routinely cutting off chaos in my life instead of making situations worse by how I respond to anger. Case in point, a number of years ago, professional golfer Ian Woosnam was on the last day of the 2001 British Open tied for the lead. Woosnam's career had been on a downhill slide for quite some time. The fact that he was now in a major tournament and tied for the lead on the last day held out the potential that he was going to return to stardom. If he won this major tournament, he would be back on the front page of the sports page, so there was a lot at stake. It was the final Sunday of the tournament. He was standing at the second tee. He had just almost hit a hole in one on the first tee. He was flying high when he turns to his caddy, Miles Burns, and says to him, "Give me the next club." Miles Burns says to Ian, "You're going to go ballistic." "Why?" Ian says. His caddy says, "I have two drivers in the bag." Ian immediately knew what that meant. If there were, you're only allowed 14 clubs in a tournament, if they had two drivers in the bag, that meant they had 15 clubs in the bag, and that would be an immediate two-stroke penalty. So now all of a sudden he's two strokes behind and is unable to catch up the rest of the day. He loses the tournament. In most professional golfers in a situation like that would immediately fire their caddy. Instead, Ian Woosnam responded with a preternatural calmness. After the tournament, reporters asked him, "Are you going to fire him?" He said, "This is probably the worst mistake that Miles will ever make in his life. He's a good guy. He'll learn from this. I'm going to give him a good talking to when we get in the clubhouse, but I'm not going to let him go." To me, that's beautiful. That is taking a situation of chaos and turning it into something beautiful. That's the result of what Eugene Peterson, editor of the Message Bible, it's what Eugene Peterson calls a long obedience in the same direction. In other words, when we repeat a certain healthy boundary in our lives over and over and over and over again, it ends up getting so deeply ingrained to us that without even thinking, it's our automatic response to a situation, so that we're regularly cutting off chaos at its knees in our life, taking what could have been destructive situations and turning them into something beautiful. It's what we've been put here to do. Children of the living God, created in God's image, we're supposed to be carrying forwards God's work of taking chaos and turning it into beauty. It's what we have been made for. Gretchen Rubin, in her book, Better Than Before, What I Learned About Making and Breaking Habits, she puts it this way. Habits are the invisible architecture of daily life. We repeat about 40% of our behavior almost daily. Think about that. Almost half of what you do every day is the result of unconscious habit. As a result, she says, our habits shape our existence and our future. She goes on to explain that habits reduce our need to draw on our limited pool of self-control. With habits, she says, we conserve our self-control. Because we're in the habit, for example, of putting a dirty coffee cup in the dishwasher, we don't need self-control to perform that action. We do it without thinking. She adds, our habits are our destiny, and changing our habits allows us to alter that destiny. Mahatma Gandhi once put it much more succinctly. He said, watch your thoughts, they become actions. Watch your actions, they become habits. Watch your habits, they become your destiny. What kind of life do you want? Chaos or beauty? The way we create ordered beauty in our life is the same way God did at the dawn of creation. Healthy boundaries that are practiced until they become healthy habits. But Jeff, you may say, okay, so I now have a pretty good idea of what I need to do when I face chaos in my life. But you still haven't told me, where am I going to find the strength to do it? Because that's where the rub comes in, right? We have explosive anger, and we just can't control it, no matter how much we want to. Or maybe we find ourselves in a situation where we're trying to develop more healthy habits, and our doctor has told us you need to make some changes or else, and yet still we struggle to do that. Where do we find the strength to follow this pattern in creation? That's the third, the final point we can draw from the creation story today, because the Bible tells us that the same Spirit of God that brooded over the primordial chaos of planet Earth, the same Spirit of God who transformed that primordial chaos into ordered beauty, that same powerful presence now lives in us as children of God. Look what Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19 says. We have the potential to be filled with all the fullness of God. Now let the power of those words sink in. We have the potential to be filled with all the fullness of God. And by that power, when we welcome that power into our life, when we release that power into our lives, by the power at work within us, Paul says, God is able to accomplish abundantly more than all we can ask or imagine. God can do things in and through you that exceed what you've ever even dared to ask or imagine. So when you find yourself in that place in life where you're feeling overwhelmed at the chaos, remember, you don't have to fight the chaos in your own strength. In fact, you can't fight the chaos in your own strength. Remember, a closed system fills up with entropy. It's only when a system is open, can get energy from the outside, that entropy can be put at bay. It's the same in our personal lives. Thank God. The good news is our lives are not closed systems. We have access to energy from outside the system that can reverse the entropy in our lives. And so when we find ourselves in places where chaos is taking over, we stop and we say to ourselves, I know what's happening here. I've seen this movie before. This is tohu wabohu, and I am going to respond accordingly. I'm going to establish some healthy boundaries. I'm going to practice those healthy boundaries until they become healthy habits, and I know where I'm going to get the strength to do that. It's the power of God in me, released, working through me. When Randy King was first trying to lose all of that weight, when it was really hard to move, to take as many steps as he needed to take, there was a powerful force of entropy in his life saying, no, stop, it's too painful, you can't do this. He knew that he was going to need a motivational message to get through this, and so he chose a statement made in the movie Labyrinth that he would repeat to himself, that he would repeat to the entropy in his life over and over again, the line being, you have no power over me. Again and again, he would say that to the chaos and the entropy in his life, you have no power over me. And guess what? Entropy and chaos had to yield. We have a power in us, the power of God, that we can release by claiming it, by naming it, by faith acting on it. We release the power of God. The same power as changed primordial chaos is now at work within us and ready to give us the strength to repeat God's patterns, creating beautiful things in our life. You can do far more in your life than you ever imagined. Healthy attitude, healthy boundaries, and healthy habits will do you no good if they're not backed up with a healthy attitude that says, the power of God is in me. I can do this. I claim that power. I'm going to act on it. You can do this far more than you ever thought you could. Like the puppy dog in this river that thinks he can retrieve that log, you can do more than you think you can, through the power of God in you. Let me close with this. You may remember a couple years ago seeing a public service message on TV sponsored by the Foundation for a Better Life. It ran in rotation a couple years ago, so you may remember it. I want you to watch it again because it's a powerful metaphor for us and God and how God works through us in the world. Take a look.
Where's Tommy?
I thought he was with you.
No.
Jack.
Tommy?
Go get him.
Don't stop. Keep playing.
What a beautiful picture of how God works in our lives. Some theologians call it co-creating with God. You have been put here on earth on a mission to carry forward God's pattern, to create beauty out of chaos. You are in partnership with God if you will accept that. So when you face chaos in your life, I want you for the rest of your life, when you're in the middle of the week and everything's tumbling down on you and you say, I can't, this is chaos, it's too much, I want you to stop and say, I've seen this movie before. This is tohu wabohu. I know what this means. I know what's happening. I know who I am and I know what I'm supposed to do, what God did. So what area of chaos in your life do you need to tackle? Get after it. You can do this. You were made for this. Thanks be to God. Amen.